what we've termed supernatural realm, his realm, and dealing with the age that we live in, we often find ourselves in a crisis of faith. And often I think the faith in our minds is over the doing. How are we going to do the things that God wants us to do? And unfortunately, in our religious training and a lot of our church experience, that aspect is stressed and overemphasized, I believe. So we're looking at these great and works that need to be done. Look what Jesus did. Look what the apostles did. How are we going to do these sort of things? Well, really, though it's miraculous, the doing is the easy part. Once God can help us through the crisis of faith that we're really in over our sense of being. Unfortunately, that often is not emphasized in the church world. It's a lot easier to get people in motion doing things than to have people reflecting and looking at their life and saying, do I see myself the way God sees me? Because religion can't answer those questions. That crisis of faith can only be answered by God's presence and God's Spirit himself. But that really is the crisis of faith I think the people of God are in today. We live in a world where we've been defined in certain ways, and we've defined ourselves according to how we've interpreted our history. We have, as Paul is saying, the stories. And to come into religion, often that is not altered. Religion paints a picture of God in a certain way, and we have all these scriptures and doctrines about how he is and how life will be someday. But that in and of itself doesn't necessarily challenge how you've interpreted your life and the image you have of yourself. But the crisis of faith is when we realize that the realm of heaven isn't for a day that after we die. The realm of heaven is to be a reality today. The realm of his kingdom is to be our present experience. We come to realize that how God defines our life and how he sees our life is totally different than the conclusions we've drawn. And then the crisis of faith is, what do we believe? Or do we allow his Spirit to work and alter and change our perceptions? That can be a very, very difficult thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. We'll look how faith works. And this miracle, one that was paralyzed, was cured. Matthew 9, Jesus came and they brought to him one that was paralyzed lying on a bed. Verse 2, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the one that was paralyzed, take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said, rise, take up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went to his home. Now you see faith in operation here on two levels. One is a physical healing. But before Jesus even addresses that, he looks at this person and changes their internal map. He looks at someone that is probably guilt-ridden, which is just human nature, and says, your sins are forgiven. He brings release to this that person's sense of being. And of course, the religious people say, what do you think you're doing? You know, they might accept a physical healing, but don't you tell this person that their sins are forgiven. If they actually believe that God has forgiven them, they won't be under our control anymore. That's what scared the religious people. They control people through guilt and reminding people of their sins. But you see, that's the power of real faith. And that's the realm of the kingdom of the Spirit. It's not downplaying the need for physical healings, but Jesus addressed first what was most important. This man's inability to get out of bed was certainly something that the Lord felt compassion for and healed. He healed the person that was paralyzed, but more important was changing the internal makeup of this person that was sick. That's the power of our faith. That's the realm of his Spirit. God wants to introduce and bring about change inside, where the way we have seen ourselves and how we've interpreted our life and the image we have of ourselves, the perception we have of ourselves, is changed to where we can see ourselves according to our spiritual history and our spiritual DNA. This is not a realm of pretending or make-believe. It's not a realm, and this is, I think, in the past where those that have been a part of that whole realm of psychology have had problems with religion, because people in religion often create this fairy tale make-believe world of, well, we're not in the flesh, and we just claim a bunch of scriptures and pretend that everything is the way we want it to be. It's not a realm of pretend. It's a realm of revelation, of God actually penetrating and changing how we think, renewing our mind, where we can see by revelation and know how God sees us and see ourselves in the same light. It's not a realm of denial, of pretending you don't have problems or the flesh isn't there. I think people that are embracing this realm of heaven and experiencing this inner change to see themselves in a new light are going to be most honest with their problems and their flesh and their limitations. They realize they don't have to hide from it anymore, because they realize that what they are in the flesh isn't the end of the book. That's merely a chapter. And they're able to read on and say, I see where this chapter fits into the bigger picture. My true story can only be defined by God and only revealed by God. So I don't have to pretend that my flesh isn't here, or I don't have to hide from my weaknesses, because beyond these weaknesses, I can face them because I see where they lead to who I am in the Spirit. So it's a matter, it's a true, honest place, I believe. In Judges chapter 6, and I think recently we were in this, but I want to go back there again if I could. The faith that can create a miracle, the faith, and again, this is the realm of heaven, of knowing that what is in heaven is also to be manifest in earth. And I think there's people today, more than we realize, that are walking around. There's signs and wonders taking place. And you say, well, these must be real special people. No, I just think they've experienced a change to where they see how things truly are in heaven, so they relate to human need differently. Instead of the fear and doubt, and I hope God can do something, they look and say, well, God already has done it. Let it manifest on this earthly plane. Those acts can be instantaneous. But talking about the level of faith where self-image, self-perception is changed, that is a process. Now, the angel came to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, and you remember the story, how when they went out to battle the Midianites, he went out there from an army of what, 30,000? How many? 32,000 they started with. I want to get my facts right here. Down to 300 people. And God wrought a tremendous victory. It was miraculous. You say, well, wow, Gideon had such faith. That was the easy part. By the time Gideon got to the point of facing that battle, the faith had changed how he saw himself. And once he saw himself correctly, it was easy to believe for what God wanted to do. And that's the reality with us. When God can change how we see our being and who we are, when faith can have that work, the outflow of that is the faith for the greater works. That's not the hard part. When the angel came to Gideon, what does he say? Verse 12, chapter 6 of Judges. The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. And you read this chapter later. Gideon says, valiant warrior, you must have the wrong person. And there's an argument and a conversation that ensues that goes on for a period of time. Gideon has to be convinced of what God initially says. God sees him as a valiant warrior. Gideon, through his history and how he's interpreted his history, has drawn different conclusions about his life and who he is. You know, often that's a role of therapy, too. People have a history, how they interpret the history. You don't change the events, what's happened to you, but you change how you perceive the events, and that's where the freedom comes. And often it goes deeper than just rational thinking about things. I mean, you could look at things, people say, well, you know, if I'm thinking incorrectly, just give me the right thoughts, and then I'll change that. Well, a lot of our perception is not just how we think, but there's that emotional component where we've been wounded, where there's been deep pain. And often we will hold on tenaciously to beliefs that can be irrational. They don't even measure up. They don't. You can confront it logically, and a person can say, I know it's not logical, but it's real. So I think in the realm of psychology, there's a level of effectiveness. But I want to tell you something. I believe in the realm of his spirit, of the kingdom, there is an authority not only to change the thought processes, but to actually heal the emotional hurt and abuse, where we would hold on to irrational thought, hold on to wrong beliefs. The Holy Spirit wants to penetrate into our being with that faith, all the way down to the core of who we are, to dislodge the old, where we can look at ourselves and truly see what God sees. And this is what Gideon went through. And you can read about this later. For the sake of time, I won't go into it. But here he has this divine confrontation or divine meeting with this angel. And he's arguing about what this angel's saying. And it goes on and on. Gideon needs physical proof. Remember the gold, the fleece he laid out? There's a process of God intervening in Gideon's life to convince him of what's true. But it does happen, doesn't it? And when Gideon is convinced of who he is, then what God wants to do flows right out of it. And in chapter 8, verse 23, they want to make him king, and Gideon says, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. The outcome of this really coming to know who he is not some ego boost. He has a real realization that it's the Lord ruling over the people that's important, even though he performs under the anointing a great, great work to deliver the people. But the glory goes back to God. We're in this process of revelation, finding who we are truly in heaven. And let's be open to this process. I wish it could be an instantaneous thing, just like a miracle that comes forth, a physical healing. But it's a process of God's Spirit working in you. It's a process of God doesn't force himself on you. Our willingness to open up, to let go of how we've thought. I'll tell you, even negative thinking, even thinking that really isn't logical and rational, if you've held on to it for a long time, it's a scary thing to let it go, isn't it? Because you're secure, even with that dysfunctional belief. But God's love penetrates. There's that yeast, that leaven of his Spirit working in our life. And as we learn to be open and willing to let that work and cooperate with it, the old is dislodged, and that new perception and new revelation comes that's purely from God. It's a wonderful thing. What do we need to have this process take place? Well, what did Gideon need? He just needed to be exposed to something greater than the human realm. He had conversations with the angel. He had interaction with God. That's what changed him. He didn't change himself. And same thing with us. It's exposure to his presence, the exposure to the living word of Christ, exposure and worship as we're exposed to God and his presence and his living words of life. That atmosphere brings about that change. It allows that leaven of the kingdom to work deeply within us. Give us the mind of Christ. So just stay exposed. Stay open. I think people get into these religious ruts where they think, okay, I've got to see myself differently now. What do? I got to work on it. The striving in your soul doesn't produce the change. The striving in your soul produces frustration, or it can make you very aware of what you need. But it's the exposure to God's realm, his heart, his spirit, his words of life that change how we see ourselves. Romans, 10:17? Faith, is that faith working? Comes by hearing from the word of Christ. See, it's that act of faith in our lives that comes by hearing the words of life. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit and finish this with this leaven. If you could turn to Matthew 13. because I think the leaven, it's described as the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. So in a sense, the leaven or the yeast, and Terry talked about this last week, is really a picture of how the kingdom of God works. But my question is, what causes that to work? You know, it's kind of a magical or property. I mean, leaven goes in, it changes things. It's a good example of who God is and how he works. In Matthew 13:33, it says, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like leaven, when a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of meal until it was all leavened. This is how the kingdom works. It goes into, now this, I like this 3 pecks of meal, because we are triune in nature, spirit, soul, and body. What it's saying is, once it gets inside, it's going to fill everything. It's a matter of allowing it to get inside. Whatever we can open up and be exposed in our life to that leaven, the leaven, the yeast of God's spirit, of his kingdom, will bring about the changes. We just got to let, we have to let it inside. And there, this thing of leaven, last week Terry mentioned the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. If we can look at that, it's like leaven creates something, doesn't it? It's like it creates a realm or an atmosphere. Can we look at those three real quick? The Pharisees, the Herod or the Romans, and then the leaven of the kingdom. If we look at the leaven of Herod or the Romans, the word that came last week is that self-reliance, and that is really true. Just look at the Roman army and look what Rome represented at that time. They were not fearful of religion, were they? Because they believed in their own power. Now that kind of leaven, again, it creates an atmosphere, it creates an awareness, doesn't it? And people that were a part of that believed in their own strength. They believed in what they could do. Self-reliance, self-confidence, all about the ego. And we see that happening today. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I would rather think of myself as victorious than a victim. Better to be positive than negative. But that leaven of Rome, that leaven of Herod, that leaven that we see in the world around us today, it can be a good thing. And there's a lot of emphasis on being positive, being victorious, be powerful. It just isn't God. It has nothing to do with your spirit and who you are in God. So at that time, with the Romans, those that were truly Romans and part of the army, they believed in themselves as conquerors, and they did, up to a certain point, didn't last. How about with the realm of the Pharisees? That is self-righteousness. Again, the word self. They believed in the law, and I want to read a verse about that, Matthew 16:6, if I could. You could turn there real quick, or you can just let me turn there. Jesus warned the disciples in this verse about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. And of course, they were a little bit clueless, and they thought he was talking about the natural bread, and then they realized he was talking about the teaching. Now, what did the Pharisees teach? The law. They taught scripture, what was written. Yet Jesus said, beware of their teaching. What he was getting at is what was coming through those words. Because a lot of things they taught, I don't think it was a matter of false doctrine. But what was coming through them was that leaven of self-righteousness. You see the awareness, again, the leaven produced a climate where when people that would sit and listen to the Pharisees, they were hearing words that might have been true, but what the air they were breathing was self-righteousness. And it was deadly. When we are trying to be perfect or to look perfect under that leaven of the Pharisees, the true righteousness and the revelation of his righteousness remains hidden from view. That's why it's deadly. If we're striving under the law to produce something, our own righteousness, we are unaware of the truth of his righteousness within our life. What a tragedy for people to be filling churches trying to do something that's already been done for them. A poem that I love, just a line from it, is, Having overcome perfectionism, I now swim joyfully in waters once feared. Perfectionism, again, it goes back to that leaven of the Pharisees. Having overcome that, we can swim in the waters of the Spirit, the freedom that God gives, things that we once feared or the religious mindset fears. We swim joyfully, knowing we're led by Him. Leaven of the Pharisees. What's the leaven of the kingdom? What's the ingredient that makes that so powerful and work? I believe it's His faith. It's the faith, isn't it? That seed of faith. Once that gets inside, we let it grow. It keeps expanding. It makes His realm of heaven, the realm of the kingdom, our reality. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 6 and 7. Isn't that what happened to Gideon? The angel confronts him and says, "You're a valiant warrior," and Gideon says, "Uh-uh." There's a challenge to his thinking. What convinced Gideon in that interaction? There's a faith begins to grow in his heart. Faith in God. And that faith ultimately changes how he thinks. And as his thinking changes, the mighty greater works flow through that, and God is glorified. It says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, thank you. "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are in truth unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Here's what's happening. Clean out the old leaven. Leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Romans. That doesn't belong in our life. But it's the leaven of His Spirit, of His kingdom, of that faith within us. And what that produces is an atmosphere of sincerity and truth. That's the air we can breathe. That's the air that glorifies Him and gives us life. I think as we're in this place, coming through this crisis of faith, letting the leaven of His kingdom work within us, there's a scripture that just really gives a clear picture of what it's like. And I'm going to close with this. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3:2. Now just picture yourself. This is your relationship with Him as this is working within you. "Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be." So as this process is working, we're undergoing change in our awareness, but it doesn't really fully appear what's going on. The kingdom of God is at work in you. Everybody in this room, the kingdom of God is working within you this moment. We just aren't really aware of how much He's doing inside us. Again, that religious mindset, looking at things, trying to analyze things, we can only be aware of it by revelation. So the fact that you're not aware does not mean something is not happening in your life. It is. But greater joy will we have when we can connect with our awareness to what God is doing within us. It says here, does not yet appear as what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him because we shall see Him just as He is. Here is the process of what the leaven does. It causes Jesus Christ to appear in you. Not that He's not there. It simply means the veil is taken away where you can see where He's been all along. His appearing is that revelation of what's true. His appearing is being able to look in the mirror and see who you are as defined in the kingdom of heaven, not by your natural history. That's His appearing. we shall be like him. Now, what does it mean to be a Christian and be like Jesus? Oh, my goodness. There's been thousands of books written about what you got to do to get there. What this is saying is, as he appears in you, you are like him. That's the truth. You don't have to strive for anything. It's there. We shall see him just as he is. And that's what the church cannot give us. They present 1,000 different images of Jesus, back it up with doctrine and teaching, but in that realm of religion, you never see him as he is. We see him the way we want to see him. It's like we, instead of us being created in God's image, we are creating God in our own image. The mind is still in control, but in this place where faith is working and the kingdom is working within you, as he appears, it's not your mind producing an image about Jesus. You see him as he truly is, as a person. It can only come because the Spirit reveals it. It's not a byproduct of the religious process. It's a byproduct of his revealing himself within us, a byproduct of the kingdom of God having his work. What a beautiful thing. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's this ongoing purifying when God's Spirit is free to move within our lives. Amen to that. Amen. Let's stand. This kind of excites me just a little bit. Lord, the cry of our hearts is just open our eyes. Awaken us from this state of just of slavery, of begging and crying out because of our doubts and fears. Awaken us, Lord, to see where we are in you right now. How much you are working in our lives, your kingdom's at work within us. That leaven that is of you, of your Spirit, is filling all that we are. Open our eyes so that we can be totally willing participants, Lord, letting you flow and move in us as you desire. Free us from the illusion and the lies that come in that whole religious realm, Lord, that we have to strive, that we have to somehow gain your favor. We have your favor because of what your Son has done for us. Open our eyes to see what is already true. And Lord, we thank you. Let this faith just grow and flow and create within us all that you want, Lord, that our mind is renewed to see not only ourselves, but your creation, our brother, our sister, as they truly are in you in this realm of heaven. Amen.